And we're back in Malachi. We're going to finish off the second chapter today, and there's not a whole lot to cover today, so it should be a shorter episode, and I'm going to say that, and it's going to be probably 45 minutes long. But Malachi chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 10, okay? It's so awesome to me how God can bring things to your mind before that you didn't even know was going to be helpful. And now I realize, hey, it's going to be helpful. So this entire second half of the chapter is talking about being unfaithful to your first love. And so I'm not really going to get into the whole, you know, what God says a marriage should be. But I did go into what God says a marriage should be in detail back a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember exactly what it is now or what episode it is. But let me think of what the name is real quick. The one that talks about the women in the head coverings, okay? Should women wear head coverings? That goes into detail on what God says marriage should be like. So, if you are just joining, first off, nice to have you. Hope you enjoy this message today, but also to get a better foundation on what I'm talking about, first go back and listen to the women in the head coverings message, then listen to all three episodes that are now on Malachi, and you'll get a good picture. Malachi chapter 2. Verse number 10, we're going to begin. It says, "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why then? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" Now, remember last episode, I talked about what the covenant of the fathers was. That was the covenant with Levi. And Levi walked with God, talked with God, was in daily communication with God, and now he's saying, look, I could do the same thing with you. So why wasn't the God that created Levi the same God that created us? Was he not the same father? Didn't we all come from the same place? And he's saying, look, I will do exactly what I did for Levi for you, but you just gotta not deal treacherously against that covenant. That covenant is to walk in the Spirit. Now, we've went over that so many times, so I'm gonna keep reading. Number 11, "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god." So this is a very commonly used parable or picture that God uses throughout the Bible, actually. And that is dealing treacherously with your first love. Not being faithful to your first love. And Judah, there's both a spiritual aspect that I want you to get out of it and a physical aspect, okay? Because God is using this, he's saying it as both ways. Because back then they were really dealing treacherously against their first love and their first wives, the wife of their youth, he says. But also they were dealing treacherously against God. And God used that, first off, to call out what sin was. And it was sin to deal treacherously against your wife. But it also pointed out a picture, hey, you're doing the same thing to me, right? So now that we got that understood, let's move on to verse 12. "The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this." Doeth what? The man that deals treacherously with his first wife, the wife of the youth, and the one that you knew was what God wanted you to do, and you just knew right away, right? God says that whoever deals treacherously with her, he will cut off. And then the same thing goes with the spiritual aspect. God saved you. We love him because what? He first loved us. He was our first love, but yet we deal treacherously with him. And we have been unfaithful to our first love and went and served other gods. Now, in our day and age, maybe you have served another god. And guess what? Well, there's still hope for you. You can come back. That's what this entire book is about, is you can come back. But most of us, we don't realize that we're actually kind of serving ourselves. We kind of put ourselves in the seat of God. We give into whatever we want. We walk in our flesh, not in the Spirit. We please ourselves. These are all things that you would do, that you're supposed to be doing God. And we kind of just put ourselves on a pedestal and forget that God even exists. You know what he says? He says, you have dealt treacherously with your first love. You've forgotten exactly what I've done and how I've saved you. And you've dealt treacherously with me so much so that you are going and serving other gods. You are going and marrying yourself in an aspect, in this spiritual idea that I'm bringing up here. Okay? Let's go down. He says that he cut off the man that does this. And the next part, I don't understand why it was translated like this, but I was looking at the actual translation and this words actually said, the master and the scholar. I don't know what master and scholar meant when this translation came out, but what those two words mean is him that's awake and him that answers. You know, the person that's looking out, the person that's, it might be looking for God might be looking for his words. And the person that answers, you know, just wise people. Even if you're wise, we're still in the part where he's saying he will cut off the man that does this. So he'll cut off the man that does this, whether he looks like he's doing good, whether he is can say all the right things, whether he answers right, God will cut him off. Why? Because it is important that you don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. That's in a physical sense and a spiritual sense, guys. And it's not just wives. It's not just husbands to wives, and we'll see that later. But don't deal treacherously with your first love. Because if you do that, God will cut you off whether you look like you're doing the right thing. Whether you're answering all the right questions. Whether you might be following in every other aspect. If you do not deal fairly or faithfully to your God, then he'll cut you off. Now, to us, that doesn't mean you're going to be sent to hell unless you haven't been saved in the first place, but then you can't deal treacherously with your first love, right? Because you never loved him in the first place. He's talking to those who were saved. He says, I will cut you off. Now, what does that mean? He'll take you out of this world. I believe 100% that there's a sin unto death, and I would like to talk about that at some point. But that's when you keep sinning, you don't listen to what God says, you're at the state in your life where you have completely shut out the Holy Spirit, where you're not feeling any conviction, where you're not doing anything for God, that I believe God will call you home. That's what this is all about. That's what this means. He will cut off the man that does this, who deals treacherously with our God. Out of the tabernacles of Jacob, that's the priests. No matter if, even if you're a pastor, if you are not listening to God, it doesn't matter what your title is. You have a responsibility more than most people, actually, to follow God and to not deal treacherously with the covenant that he set out before. And him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. Verse 13. This have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with what? With tears. And with weeping and crying out. Insomuch he regardeth not the offering, or receiveth it with at goodwill, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. He's saying, look, you've been crying, you've been at my altars, you've been weeping, but there comes a time where you got to stop weeping and get this right. Come back to your first love. Don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. And that, again, I'm going to say it over and over again, that is a spiritual but also a physical sense. Have you been unfaithful to the one that God called you to love? If you're married. Because God says he will not tolerate that. And we're going to keep reading down and we're going to see that more in depth. But you got to stop crying. You got to stop crying over the things that you've done and saying and faking almost what you're doing. There comes a point where you got to actually do something. And that is get whatever has caused you to fail out of your life. Whatever has caused you to stray away from God, stray away from your wife or your husband, whatever has caused you to do these things, you got to get it out of your life. You got to stop crying and go do it. How do you do it? By the covenant of the Father. Again, it's not hard. All it is, it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take a little bit of time and a whole lot of faith. But if you are diligent, if you consistently try and say, God, I'm giving this day to you. God, and you get into his word and you pray and you just say, God, I want to live for you and you alone. I want to come back to my first love. He will guide you. He will. The question is, will you let him? Verse number 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Why? Why aren't you receiving what I'm crying? Because we're still talking about him crying out. And people are like, why aren't you listening to me crying? Listen to this. Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom ye have dealt treacherously. First off, I want to point out, God sees it. He's a witness, guys and gals. He sees it. And he sees when you deal treacherously with the one you're supposed to be loving to. Whether, again, that's the physical sense. Now let's talk about the spiritual sense. He sees every single one of us when we deal treacherously with him. His eyes behold both what? The good and the evil. God is a witness. And this is why he's not accepting this crying anymore. Maybe you've been just crying out to God over and, well, quote unquote, crying out to God. Because if you're really crying out to God, he's a refuge for you. But maybe you've just been in this fake repentant stage where you just keep crying and crying. And God's not listening to you. Why? Because he sees what you're doing. You cry at his altar, then you go home and you deal treacherously with your wife, or you deal treacherously with your husband, or you deal treacherously with God. He sees it all. That's why. Because he's been a witness. Yet, continuing verse 14, she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Of what covenant? Well, when you're talking about marriage, it's the covenant you had at marriage. She's the wife of your covenant, or he is the husband of your covenant. Don't deal treacherously with that. But also in the spiritual sense, the covenant, again, of Levi that will walk faithfully with our God. Okay? Verse number 15. And did he not make one? Yet the residue, yet he had the residue of the spirit, and why one? So he says, hey, didn't he make one? You know, they say when you know, you know. When you know you love somebody, you just know right away. Didn't he make one? And you knew that he or she was that one. Why? Why did he make that one? And we can talk about the physical sense, but also spiritual sense. There's only one true love in the spiritual, well, and in the physical. But spiritually, the one true love is God. And he says, am I not the only one? And then they say, why? Why one? That ye might seek out a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Huh. That's the whole point. The whole point of loving your first wife or your first husband or your first love in general, which is God, the whole point is to raise up a godly seed. And I said that last episode, so I'm not going to go super deep into that and why. But it's so that you can raise up a godly seed so that you and your family can prosper here on earth and you and your family can prosper in heaven. Love is such an amazing thing, I think. And the fact that God loves us, and he's doing it, why? Because it pleases him. It pleases him to love us. And he loves us so much that he saved us, and then we can have children and share that love with our children. That's the whole point. So let none deal treacherously with the wife of thy youth. Now let's go back. I want to go back to Proverbs because I was reading in Proverbs. I love Proverbs. It's been almost a month, I think. The last time I read through Proverbs, I was reading through it with a close friend of mine, and I think that was about March of last year. I can't remember exactly. So I started reading through Proverbs again, and I read this morning. Proverbs 2:16, and this is talking about wisdom. This is what the reward of wisdom is, and this is how you stay away from this problem that you might have already found yourself in, but this problem that definitely Judah and Israel found themselves in, and that is walking away from the God of their youth and from the wife of their covenant. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh, listen to this, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and hath forgotten the covenant of her God. You got to stay away from those things. Now let's talk about it. You know, we'll always start with the physical, okay? Let's talk about that. You know, the way to stay true to the person you love? It's by staying away from the people that flatters with their words. It all sounds so good. It all sounds very tempting. But wisdom, when you get wisdom in the Bible, when you get wisdom by God and understanding, you can see that they have dealt treacherously with the God of their covenant. They have dealt treacherously with the guide. There's no wisdom found in her. Okay? Now let's talk about, and when you stay away from that, when you stay away from the people that have forsaken the God of your covenant, then you won't forsake the God of your covenant. And that's going to people who might be looking to get married. You got to find somebody who will not forsake the God of their youth and who have grown in wisdom and who understand that the God of their youth gave them everything. Because if somebody is not faithful to God, if somebody is not faithful to the one who loves them the most, what makes you think they'll be faithful to you? That doesn't make any sense. And I know there's a lot of teenagers listening. And I know there's a lot of people that are trying to decide what their future might look like. This is the place to start. You specifically do not walk away from the covenant of God. You stay true to that covenant. And you find somebody who is also staying true to that covenant. And together, you can raise a godly seed. Verse number 16, and then this is the last little bit. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, he hateth putting away. This is divorce. He hates divorce. And he hates that you're putting away, you're divorcing your wife, you're divorcing the one you're supposed to love, the one that he only made one of. You're putting that away. And you're putting her away to do what? To go to the stranger. To go to this strange woman. You put her away to go to this person that flatters with her lips, but she has forsaken the God of her youth. She has gone away from the guide of her youth. She has no wisdom in her. God hates it. He says, listen, stay with me. Because when you leave, when you go try to pursue the world, when you try to go and pursue, you know, free will, free love, all of this stuff, which we, not free will, that was bad wording. When you go pursue sin, I guess is what I'm going to call. When you go pursue this stuff, God says, hey, remember me? I'm your first love. I'm the one that gave you everything. I was reading the book of Lamentations not too long ago, and it talks about, and then Lamentations 1, actually throughout the entire book of Lamentations, but Lamentations 1, it says, she has forsaken the first of her love. Then this is paraphrasing, obviously, but she's forsaken God and gone to all her other lovers. But when all her other lovers saw her in this desperate stage, they all left her. You know, let's turn to Lamentations. What time? How long have I been doing this? 20 minutes? Psh, I've done longer. It's okay. Lamentations. Okay. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1 through 2 says, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a great widow? She was great among the nations and princess among the provinces. How has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night. Listen to this. And her tears are on her cheek. Among all her lovers, there is none to comfort her. All her friends have what dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Everybody outside of God. Everybody that you think is going to help you. I'm not even going to go into detail just for younger listeners' sake. But all the things that you think will please you. All the things that you think will help you through this life. When you reject God. And when you deal treacherously with him. This is where you'll find yourself. You'll find yourself crying and weeping because you'll find nobody to comfort you. Everybody that you thought was going to comfort you, they all have dealt treacherously with you. All of your friends, all of your lovers, everything that you pursued will turn on you and what? It'll become your enemy. That's why you don't deal treacherously with the one who loves you. Because he's the only one that can comfort you. Let's finish up here. We're on the last verse of Malachi chapter 2. Now that we can see in perspective what he's talking about. He's talking about walking with God. He's talking about not dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth. He's talking about staying true to God in this entire book so far. Number 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied thee? When ye say, everyone doeth evil in the sight. Listen to this. This is actually very good. When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he that delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? When you say, you weary the Lord. You weary him. When you say, everybody that does bad is good in the sight of the Lord. So I'm not going to be that person who's going to weary God. So I'm going to say this right now. If you are doing bad things, if you're sinning, if you're living in sin, guess what? God doesn't accept it. That's not who God is. It's not good in his eyes. And he does not delight in you. And if you are living in sin, this next question, the question, where is the God of judgment? You will find him pretty fast. Because you don't know how long you have. But there's always an upside. And that upside is God can save you where you're at. The amazing thing about God, and I say this to everybody that God gives me the chance to talk to, the greatest thing about God is that he takes you as you are, but doesn't let you leave the same. He can take you, no matter what you've done. You, all you got to do is cry out to God. Not in this fake way that these people did in Malachi, or in Judah, I mean. Not in the fake way. When you really cry out to God and you're sick of living the way that you have been, then God will help you. He accepts you then. Why? Because you're forsaking everything. You're forsaking everything you've done, everything you thought about, every sin that's ever been in your past. You're forsaking it all. And you're saying, God, I need your help. And when you do that, that is coming back to the God of your first love. That is coming back to the one who's loved you. Isn't that amazing? That's such a great picture. The Malachi, or that God, through Malachi, speaks. It's amazing. So, next week, we're going to talk about Malachi chapter 3. But I want to end off on this, okay? Have you been dealing treacherously with your spouse? With the one you're supposed to love? And that word treacherously can also be translated, I looked, into unfaithful. Unfaithful to the one that first loved you. Get that right? Because God is a witness. God sees it. This is the same God. This morning I saw a verse, and it was, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was the same yesterday, he was the same here, and he's the same today, and he'll always be the same. God is a witness that if you are dealing treacherously with the first love that he brought into your life, the real love, you know what I'm talking about. You got to get that right. Same thing goes with if you're doing that with God. You got to get it right. And once you get it right, your life will be better and God won't forsake you.